We are so blessed tonight, one, to be here for such a beautiful day that we had, and I'm honored to introduce and have this opportunity. Tonight our speaker is Brother Lee Brown. He's faithfully served as minister of Alcoa Church of Christ in Alcoa, Tennessee for the past 15 years, a dedicated Christian for 47 years. Lee is known for his servant's heart, his strong work ethic, an unwavering commitment to God's kingdom. Throughout his Christian journey, he has willingly served with a variety of ministries, including education coordinator for the 2016 East Tennessee Youth Conference, deacon at McDonald Drive Church of Christ, youth teacher, bus ministry worker, and currently the chair of the Tennessee State Lectureship. His philosophy is simple: no task is too small when it's done for the Lord. Whether preaching, teaching, or mentoring, or encouraging others, Lee strives to help people grow closer to Christ and deepen their understanding of God's Word. His genuine love for people, understanding of God's Word, and his generous love for people, practically approach to ministry and willingness to serve wherever needed, have made him a respectable leader and encourager within the church. Lee resides in Knoxville, Tennessee, with his wife of 31 years, Monica. Together, they've been blessed with 3 children and 5 cherished grandchildren. Lee is employed by Denso. He enjoys spending time with his family, studying Scripture, and finding opportunities to serve God and others. Above all, Lee seeks to honor God through a life of faithful service and Christian example. Brother Lee, welcome. Preach the word, brother.
Good evening to everyone. I pray that you had a wonderful day thus far. If you have a moment this evening, I want to share a few words with you, and I'm not going to give you something brand new. I'm not going to give you something you haven't heard. I'm going to give you a few simple words from God's Word, and I want you to take that and use it to further you as you continue your Christian journey. For scripture this evening, I want to give you a couple of scriptures to open with here. Psalms 96, verse 9. There the Bible says, "O Lord, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth." John 4 and 24 says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Worship is an entirely important and challenging subject. When you say worship, what resonates in your mind? What do you think about when you say worship? Are you saying I'm going to worship God? Is it just the part that I'm saying that I am wondering? I'm sorry, I did say that, didn't I? I'm worshiping God. I'm going to the building. And once you get to the building to worship God, are you focusing on God or are you focusing on your neighbors? Sometimes when we say worship, we need to step back for a moment and let that resonate in our minds. All the components of worship. Every part of worship is important. The singing part is the part when we come in and we begin to take our mind and our focus off of the worldly things and focus on godly things. As you had the hymns that were sang just moments ago, when you sang those hymns, what are you focusing on? Is your mind transitioning from the world and thinking and focusing on God? Because the world can absorb you in a way and take your mind to a different place as you come in to worship. But let that be itself another subject. The topic of this evening is communion, the Lord's Supper. That is my topic for this evening, and I'm going to get to that in just a minute. So I want you to know that when we get to worship, singing is part of the worship. It's part of letting your heart go to focus on God. And when we get to worship and God is in our presence and in our hearts and in our mind, God is in the present. He's in the midst of us. And we need to let that resonate as we continue through this lesson. Here this evening, the Lord's Supper. It is vastly designated in the New Testament as the breaking of bread in Acts 2 and 42. To the breaking of bread in Acts 20 and verse 7. The Lord's table in 1 Corinthians 10. And the communion, 1 Corinthians 10 and 16. The Lord's Supper is a very important action in today's Lord's worship. It is a component. If you all know about putting things together, I don't know if anybody ever took apart a radio. Took apart a radio. Took apart a hammer or a drill or anything. You ever took anything apart? Taking apart was easy, wasn't it? Putting it back together was the other part that we forget that, hey, wait a minute. I could put it back together, but then I got all these other little components. So where does this go? Those were important components inside of that, because what happens when you put it back together and you got these components? You hit the power button and what happens? No bzzz. The Lord's Supper is an important component. Remove it and you have done something a grave injustice. It was designed by God's own son. It was put in act by God's own son. Jesus, as he was walking with his disciples, he told them and he spoke to them on the day just before he was fixing to be crucified or put into judgment. He was told to them, this is what you're going to do. I'm going to be with you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29, there the Bible says, wherefore whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The word discern literally means look through. Have you ever been to an event where you go in and you know nobody, and then all of a sudden you began to speak, or you began to talk, or you began to introduce yourself? And before you leave, everybody knows you. Or you've been to an event and you began to talk to people and you're being your nice self, and all of a sudden, it's like people are just looking right past you. They're not even seeing you. This is what we're going to get to. Why do we know what discern mean is when people use a microscope or a telescope to bring into view something otherwise invisible. We look through them to discern those objects, to make a look through to see what it's like. The Lord's Supper is intended by God to bring before us a clear spiritual vision, our Savior and His sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice wasn't just to make you go, ah. It was to save you. Why was he doing it to save you? He did it because he knew that throughout the eons of time that his people needed to be saved. It's our human nature to forget that there's times where in past we were not so good. Some of us now, we've gotten up in age and we're tending to forget some of those things that we did as kids. We don't remember some of those things. And sometimes when people remind us of, we meet an old friend, he said, "Remember when you used to do this?" And you say, "I don't do that no more." "Well, why don't you do that no more?" "I found my Savior. And he translated me from where I once was to where God wants me to be." And if you are a Christian and you have not been translated and you are not where God wants you to be, you need to wake up, because you are living in error. God wants you to be with him, by him, and live through him. Your change has to happen through God. People always say that I'm going to change. And I invite people to come to church and they'll say, "I'll be there as soon as I get myself." Huh? "I'll get myself together. I'll get myself cleaned up." You ain't done it in 20 years. You ain't going to do it now. So you need to go somewhere that you have someone that can help you get cleaned up, to help you get on the straight and narrow. We can remember being confused about something. Have you ever did that? You got confused and say, "I was confused about that subject. But now that God is living through me, I have a more clear understanding of that subject." The Lord's Supper is to keep our memory clear, straight, and focused. Think about the components of the Lord's Supper. If you have your Bibles, go with me to 1 Corinthians. I'm using a digital Bible for the first time. Chapter 11, starting around verse 23. The apostle saying, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it." Now, we've heard that verse a number of times. Those of you that have been in the church for a number of years, hundreds of times. But we always seem to forget or not remember that part right there where it says, when he had given thanks. Even Jesus, when he was giving something to his disciples, he gave thanks for it. Don't leave that out. That's important. He broke it into pieces and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." When we are connected to God, that part of the small components of the Lord's Supper, as we began to take of it, we need to think of all those little things that are said in the Scripture. Every part of the Scripture that is read, you need to let that resonate in your mind. And focus on nothing but the partaking of the Lord's Supper. If you drink of the cup, what is the important aspect of the cup? The beautiful part is that Jesus was still alive and he prayed over this drink of the cup and he told his disciples, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood." if you miss that part where he says, drink it, and this is my blood, partake of it. What do you do when you drink something? Y'all can say it. You won't throw me off. When you drink of water, it goes where? Inside. If you drink of anything, it goes inside. So once something goes inside, what does that water do? It cures what? Your thirst. It cures the part that it helps your body to stay functioning, because without water, we can't function. Subsequently, how long can we survive without water or food? Anybody know? Take a guess. Huh? 1 week without water or food. It's in peril that you have to partake of something to drink. And that drink that I'm talking about is Jesus is talking about in that drink. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devil. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of the devil. The Lord's Supper reminds us who we are and whose we are. We can have been called and chosen by Christ in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 4. And there have been a separation from the world and a reconciliation to God, Ephesians 2 and 16. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to examine ourselves. We need to look at ourselves individually. As we are taking the Lord's Supper and we began to understand what God has in store and He had put for us, it is for us. How many people can judge somebody else when you're standing in damnation for yourself? No one can judge another's motive. Each must examine himself. We don't want to take the motive that you have out of partaking the Lord's Supper, but we want you to be motivated to take the Lord's Supper. Now, being motivated to take the Lord's Supper inclines you to be what? You have to be active and seeking what that is righteous. If you're not seeking what is righteous and you're not actively going after God, how can you be a saint? If you want to get to heaven, you got to be prepared to get there. If you want to go on vacation, I was talking to another young lady earlier coming in about going on vacation or going on retiring. How can you retire if you haven't prepared to retire? How can you go on vacation if you haven't prepared to go on vacation? These things that we are talking about is simple things, but we don't think about them because we're not prepared for them. Our attitude and our actions must go hand in hand. The Lord's Supper is a call to repentance. When we take the Lord's Supper, the table of the Lord, the table that is there set for you, that is spread wide for you to take, we must have a separation from the world. The table is not a table of hypocrisy to be dispelled. The table is there for you to partake and become more godly. The Lord's Supper is a communion. 1 Corinthians 10 and 16 says, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread." This means the Lord's Supper is a vital sharing of vital communication. While the Lord is always with us faithfully, there is a very special and intimate way that He is with us during the Lord's Supper. When the Lord's Supper is being served, God is in the presence, and he's with each and every one of us individually. And it's important that he takes me, especially a little low servant like me, and put a special ring around me during the Lord's Supper and says, I'm with you. This identification, no one else can have. You can't pass through it. No one else can pass through it. You can't put me through it. Only I can do it. Christ was initiated when we were baptized into him, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And it's continued when he was sup with us and he with us, Jesus promised to drink with us again in the kingdom, Matthew 26 and 29. I want you to know this evening that the Lord's Supper is a bond of Christian fellowship. 1 Corinthians 10 and 17 says, for we being many are one bread and one body, that if that is one bread and one body, then we ought to have the same mindset when we partake of the Lord's Supper. Not focusing on, what is one thing we focus on sometimes? Oh, we come into evening service like this. Did I turn that crock pot off? I run out of the house. Did I remember to lock the door? When we lived, my wife and I lived in Middle Tennessee. We left one evening to go to evening service, and I told the kids, I said, come on. They were little. My kids were little. Let's go. Get in the car. We're going to be late. I love getting in the car, and they come out, get in the car, we take off. We were gone for about 2 hours. Come back, front door wide open. So my wife said, you go in first. I said, well, why me? I said, I'll go in. I ain't afraid. I'm right with God. If they take me, I'm going to be with God because I'm right with him. If your fellowship with God is in need of a boost, I want you to incline your ear that we need to have a super duty call to unity. The unity is that we need to focus our attention on getting everybody that you come in contact with, regardless if they are members or non-members, you talk to them about Jesus. You invite them to come to hear God's word. And when you do that, you're doing your part to spread the good news. You say, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be. Okay, you say you're not a preacher. How many people got a cell phone? I'm looking for mine. It's up here. You got a cell phone, right? How many listings of people do you have in your cell phone? Don't tell me. Some of y'all may give me a number I don't want to know. But you got more than one that you have listed. And some phones are these smartphones. They began to calculate the number of times you call a certain person, and they'll throw them into your favorite, won't they? You don't even have to search down your whole list. You just go right to the favorites and call that person right up. But how many of those people have you told about God? Are you ashamed that you are a Christian? I hope you're not. We have to have the right heart. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one was weak, we're all affected. When one was strengthened, we're all built up. Build each other up in the sight of God by doing what? Focusing on the attention when we come into the building. If I invite a friend, I'm not going to be sitting on my phone paying my bills while I'm in service. You have plenty of time outside of service to pay your bills. I'm not going to be texting a friend next to me or texting someone. You know, people text each other, sitting right next to each other. What are you doing that for? Just reach over and talk to the person. Well, I don't want to be a disturbance to this worship service. Well, you are. Why? Because somebody see you on your phone and they think that that's okay. Is that okay? When we come to worship, we are supposed to be giving our awe to who? God. Pleasing Him. It proclaims a vital fact of the gospel. It proclaims a vital part of the gospel. It says that when we take up the Lord's Supper, it says that in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which is also have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you were saved, if ye keep in my memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day, according to the scriptures. It preaches that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave up his life for us. Romans 5:8. It says, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Some of us are still out there in the world, living our lives to the fullest, not knowing that our Savior had already given up his life for you. It affirmed that faith is alive and well. It testifies that Jesus is not dead, but lives. It declares that he is coming, John 14. It states that judgment is sure, Acts 17:30-31. The great essentials of the gospel are preserved in this memorial. That Jesus passed this on to his disciples and is there for us to partake of the Lord's Supper. Focus on Jesus. If your focus is on anything else, it's not meaning anything. Y'all know the song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Huh? Y'all know that? If your hope is built on nothing less, focus on that so that your mind will not wander as you come into worship. And when you come into worship and you focus on nothing else but Jesus Christ and his greatness, how great thou art to have a Savior that would have gone ahead and put his life out there for you. He did it for me, and I wasn't worth it. I wasn't worth it. I wasn't worthy. But he changed me. There were many times that I tried to go a different direction. But just like Jonas, he brought me right back. He said, you ain't going over there. How many times can you say that I've had my guardian angel tell me, or not really tell me, he said, stop doing that, but he gave me the option. We all have a guardian angel. He's not going to make the decision for you, but he presents you with a good option. When you come to worship and you got your mind focused on worshiping God, nothing should get in your way. Nothing's going to stop me from loving God. Our worship is not only offering our praise to God, it is expressing our faith upwardly and outwardly. If you're here this evening and your faith is not quite right with God, have you not been living just rightly with God, there's an opportunity for you to fix that while the blood's still running warm in your vein. Because when the blood stopped running and the heart stopped pumping, the time is over. You're in the hands of a just God. But right now, while you're here, I'm going to incline your ear to hear these words. Hear the saving gospel. Hear that Jesus came, suffered, bled, and died for you and me. The Bible says in Romans 10 and 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's where your faith comes. You got to hear it. Not just listen to, but you got to hear it. You got to believe with all your heart. Your heart's got to be set. Your mind's got to be focused. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Repent of your sins. Turn them over. Turn them loose. Let them go. Finding that they are no longer relevant in your life, you can say, I'm no longer going to live that sinful life. Acts 17 and 30. Turn away from it. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. Romans 10 and 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then be baptized for the remission of sin. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Baptism is essential to getting into Christ. I know that there's plenty of some good doctors out there, y'all. There's some real good doctors. I've had several. But there's none that can perform the operation that God does in the time that he does as you go down into that watery grave and you raised up a new creature in life. And from there you live faithfully unto death. Heaven will be your home. But you know that even though those are us that are the most devout Christians, Satan gets on you. He gets about you. He wants you not to serve God, but to serve him. So what does he do? I don't know. I grew up on a farm, so I use animals as most of my thing. We had an old mule. We wanted to go faster. We put a carrot on a rope and we stick it way out there in front of him and make him move a little bit faster. It'll work for a while. Then after a while, he don't want it anymore. But listen. Sometimes Satan will do that. He'll dangle something in front of you, make it look real good. After a while, you'll see, that ain't no good. But he already got you. You're a devout Christian, but he got you. Even at that, God says, I still love you. Repent of your sin. Because where sin exists, God can't be. Repent of your sins and be added back into the fold. If you are living righteously and you're serving God and your faith is right with God, here's an opportunity that you can pray for somebody else. You can have somebody else's soul saved just by praying for them, asking for prayers for them. Whatever the case may be, I want you all to stand and come while we sing a verse of invitation song.